I've entitled this message, The Good Shepherd, and I'd like to begin by reading from what is probably the most well-known chapter in the entire Bible, Psalm 23. In fact, I'd like for us all to stand and read it out loud together if we could. Can we do that? Psalm 23, let's all read this out loud together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, your word says that at one time we were all like sheep going astray, but now we have returned to the shepherd and overseer of our souls. We come before you today as the people of your pasture and the sheep of your hand.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you for being our shepherd and for all the protection and care and guidance that you so lovingly give us. Speak to us now through your Holy Spirit and through your word that we might love you, follow you, and serve you more closely than ever. Use me as your vessel, and I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Please be seated. Life is not an easy journey. The road is not always smooth. The conditions are not always favorable. And many hazards lie along the way. While life contains many joys, it can also be plagued by sorrows. It can be confusing, even at times terrifying. Furthermore, our needs for the journey are never ending, and we often feel helpless and overwhelmed. Clearly, we were not created to navigate life alone. Next to John 3:16, Psalm 23 is probably the best known and most beloved passage in all of the Word of God. The great 19th century preacher Charles Spurgeon referred to it as the Pearl of the Psalms. It is the psalm that people turn to in life's most difficult times. I recall that it was read at the memorial service we had for Christy Anderson just recently. For centuries, Psalm 23 has given comfort, peace, and hope to those who read it. The chapter heading, A Psalm of David, indicates only that David is the author. It doesn't tell us the time or the occasion of the psalm's writing. Some scholars think he composed it in his youth while tending to his father's flocks. It's certainly easy to imagine him visualizing these words while looking out over his sheep as they grazed in the afternoon sun. Most commentators, however, believe that David wrote the 23rd Psalm late in his life. If that's the case, then David's mind surely traveled back to his younger days when he tended his father's sheep in the pastures outside of Bethlehem. There, before David was ever known in Jerusalem, the Lord had given him a vivid, living illustration of his abundant care for his people. Now, older and wiser, after slaying Goliath, fleeing from King Saul, committing adultery with Bathsheba, murdering Uriah, and his conflicts with his evil sons Amnon and Absalom, David reflected on his life and more fully understood something of the depth of the Lord's care. He had walked many times through the valley of the shadow of death, but now it appeared to be close at hand. He knew he couldn't escape it as he had before, but he faced his approaching death with courage, knowing that he would dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen.
The Lord God, who had shepherded him through all the storms of life, would soon guide him safely through one more valley and into God's own precious, into God's own glorious presence, where a banqueting table would be prepared for him and his cup would overflow. And brothers and sisters, God makes that same promise to us, that if we'll just stay by his side and follow him and allow him to lead us as a shepherd leads his sheep, then he'll lead us safely through the valleys of this life, and there'll come a day when we too will have the privilege of sitting at the Lord's table and partaking of the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then when supper is over and the table has been cleared and the dishes have been placed in the sink, we'll go and enter into our heavenly reward and dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In both the Old Testament and the New Testament, Scripture is filled with this imagery of the Lord as a shepherd and we as his sheep. As far back as the patriarch Jacob in the book of Genesis, the Lord has been described as the shepherd of his people. This imagery is used over and over throughout Scripture until it finds its fulfillment in Jesus Christ. Let's look at a few scriptures, the first one being John chapter 10, verse 11, where Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Here Jesus refers to himself as the good shepherd. The next scripture, Hebrews 13, verse 20, says, "Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant." Here the writer of Hebrews refers to Jesus as the great shepherd. And then lastly, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Here the apostle Peter refers to Jesus as the chief shepherd. But in today's text, Psalm 23, David's focus is not on the crucified Lord who died for us many years ago, or on the risen Lord who will one day return. In Psalm 23, David's attention is focused on the here and now Lord, the Lord who is our shepherd, the one who walks beside us and meets our every need in our lives right now. The Lord in Psalm 23 is the one who feeds us and leads us through a world full of spiritual enemies and predators and darkness. He's the one who loves and cares for his sheep so that we can rest easy and secure in him. This is the glorious message of the 23rd Psalm, so that along with David, we too can confess that the Lord is my shepherd. In fact, we all say that together. The Lord is my shepherd. We can know that he will meet our every need. We can trust him for our protection, and we can be assured of his goodness and his love toward us.
Amen.
Vivian, if you please put verse 1 back up. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." This opening verse of Psalm 23 establishes the theme for everything that follows. The Lord is the shepherd of his people. The symbolism of the shepherd and his sheep was very familiar to the people of David's time, but it may not be as familiar to us today. So it is important for us to grasp and understand the ancient role of the shepherd so that we too can understand the profound truths of this psalm. Shepherds cared for their sheep's every need. They helped them give birth, they fed them, they protected them, they guided them, they rescued them, and when necessary, they disciplined them. For all practical purposes, the shepherds lived with their sheep. But in order to fully appreciate Psalm 23, we not only have to understand the nature of the shepherd, but also the nature of the sheep. According to pastor and teacher Haddon W. Robinson, a sheep is all of the things that we do not want to be. Sheep are dumb.
Yep.
They're stubborn. They're defenseless. They have no sense of direction. They are prone to wander. They are slow to recognize danger. They are nervous and jittery. And they are easily excitable and frightened. And one thing is certain about sheep. Sheep will die if left to themselves. According to Scripture, when Jesus saw the multitudes, he had deep compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, wandering helplessly without protection or care. He knew that without him, they were doomed to perish. In verse 1 of Psalm 23, when David said that the Lord was his shepherd, he was acknowledging that he was like a sheep. And he was certainly not flattering himself by admitting this. And before you and I can ever enjoy the marvelous blessings described in this psalm, we need to admit that in our own flesh and in our own power, we too are like sheep. Jesus described himself as the gate that leads into the sheepfold. And it is only when we recognize our own helplessness and our own desperate need for a shepherd that we can enter through that gate, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and become part of the great shepherd's flock. Because David's shepherd was the Lord himself, he could declare with absolute confidence, "I shall not want." He could journey through life absolutely sure that his shepherd would take care of him. He rested in the knowledge that he would never lack the necessities of life because the Lord would supply all his needs and enable him to thrive and prosper. Let's look at verse 2 now. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. The shepherd's unselfish love for his sheep is seen not only in the fact that he provides for us, but also in the way that he provides for us. The green pastures mentioned in this verse, meadows with newly sprouted grass, were not abundant in the land of Palestine. A shepherd had to work tirelessly to find places where the grass was lush and there was sufficient grass to feed his sheep. The still waters mentioned in this verse are literally waters that have been dammed up by the shepherd so that the water would form into calm pools and not flow. Sheep are jittery, jumpy, and fearful creatures. They refuse to drink from running or turbulent waters, so a caring shepherd would gather rocks and dam up a stream so their sheep could drink from the calm pools of water without fear. Brothers and sisters, I have good news for you. Not only is Jesus our good shepherd, but he's also the bread of life and he's also the living water.
Amen.
Amen.
So stay close to him and don't wander off. He said that the one who comes to him will never hunger and the one who places their trust in him will never thirst. A good shepherd also knows that sheep have to rest. In his book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, Philip Keller says that it is notoriously difficult to get sheep to lie down and rest. As mentioned earlier, sheep are by nature jumpy and jittery creatures. It's hard to get them to stay still for any length of time. When sleeping sheep hear a noise, they spring to their feet in fear and refuse to lie down again. According to Keller, sheep will not lie down and rest unless they are free from fear, free from friction with other sheep, free from pests that come to torment them like flies and parasites, and free from hunger. A sheep at rest is a contented, satisfied sheep that is free from fear, is in harmony with the other sheep, is free from torment, and is free from hunger. The picture David paints in verse 2 is one of a flock of sheep quietly grazing in green pastures, and then after feeding, lying down to chew the cud. These sheep can rest because their need for food and water has been supplied. They are free from fear and torment, and they are in harmony with the rest of the flock. Amen. Brothers and sisters, contrary to what the world would have us believe, we all need rest too. Amen. The Lord created us with the need for rest. But sometimes, like foolish sheep, we don't get the rest we need. Perhaps responsibilities weigh us down, causing us to feel that if we take time off, we will only get further behind, which only increases the pressure we already feel. Sometimes we get so overcommitted in our lives and get involved in so many activities that we simply don't get enough rest. Many believers struggle with sleeplessness. Our minds are flooded with decisions and problems. Our spirits are burdened with needs and cares. Sometimes we can't sleep because of worry and fear. Eventually we become exhausted and wear ourselves out. Is there anybody in here besides myself that can relate to that?
Yeah.
So to get the rest that God wants us to have, just like sheep, we need to be free from fear and worry. We need to be in harmony with one another. We need to be free from the torments of the enemy. And we need to stay spiritually well-fed and well-watered. If a sheep refused to lie down and rest, a loving shepherd would sometimes sit down and take the restless sheep in his arms and gently make it lie down and then stay with it while it rested. If you'll just allow Jesus to be your shepherd, he'll do the same for you. The great shepherd longs to take us, his sleepless sheep.
Amen.
He longs to take us in his arms and calm us by his presence and his loving care. When we place our trust in him, he takes care of us, he tends to all of our needs, and our hearts and minds and our bodies will find rest in him.
Amen.
Let's look at verse 3. He restoreth my soul, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The word restore in this verse is one of the most frequently used words in the Old Testament. People often interpret "he restores my soul" to mean a spiritual or emotional refreshing or renewal. Now, while the Lord certainly refreshes his people and strengthens their spirits, just like we talked about a moment ago, that's not the typical meaning of this Hebrew word. Here, the word restore means to return or turn back, to set something right or set it back in order the way it was supposed to be. In some places, this word conveys the idea of bringing or carrying something back to where it belongs. Many times it refers to repenting and returning to the Lord. Because sheep are notorious for wandering away from the fold, sheep are easily distracted and will roam toward things that draw their attention. They will stop and graze at a clump of grass while the rest of the flock keeps going. At other times, they get startled and run from the flock and get lost. Sometimes they aimlessly meander away for no reason at all. But, and listen closely now, but when sheep drift from the fold, they place themselves in very grave danger. Brothers and sisters, sometimes we stray too. Sometimes we stray deliberately. We choose to roam from the paths of righteousness to follow temptation and sin. Sometimes we stray aimlessly It is possible, even while serving the Lord, to move away from His side without realizing it. But when we do stray, our good shepherd Jesus always comes to look for us. He loves us too much to let us perish in the wilderness of this sinful world, and He will personally see to our rescue and our safety and lead us back to the paths of righteousness, literally the right ways, the right paths. Paths are trails that have been made flat and smooth. They are the paths God has laid out before us for our own safety, well-being, and happiness. The right paths may not always be the easiest paths for the sheep, but they are the safest. And if we will just allow Him to, God will lead us along the paths that He has chosen according to His holy and perfect will. Scripture says that the ways of the Lord are right. The righteous walk in them, but the rebellious stumble and fall. Some sheep are especially willful and stubborn, and they tend to habitually stray from the flock and go their own way. Sometimes a gentle nudge with the shepherd's staff is enough to return the sheep to the fold. A more stubborn sheep might require a whack with the shepherd's rod. Some shepherds might attach a weight to a sheep's legs to keep it from wandering off. For a particularly stubborn and rebellious sheep, a shepherd of David's day might even deliberately strike one of the sheep's legs with his staff, breaking the leg and then splinting it. The shepherd would then carry the sheep everywhere until its leg healed, after which it would never leave the shepherd's side. There's a lesson for us in this. The Lord will correct us, His sheep, as gently as He can,
right,
or as harshly as He must,
right,
in order to keep us from straying too far away. In extreme situations, He may even have to break us to get us to see our need for Him. As I prepared this message, I could almost imagine the Lord saying to me, "Glenn, we can do this the easy way, or we can do this the hard way."
That's right.
Saints, let's always pick the easy way. So why does the Lord so carefully watch over His sheep? Why does He go to such great lengths to keep us on the right paths? Verse 3 says that He does it for His name's sake. He does it because it's in keeping with His faithful and caring and patient nature and His unfailing love for us. Because He's good and merciful, He doesn't want to lose a single one of His sheep. Scripture says that the Lord doesn't want anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance, and He will do whatever it takes to return us to the fold if we stray, because His good name and His reputation as a good shepherd depends on it. Now let's look at verse 4. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." The life of a sheep in Palestine was filled with threats and dangers, illness, injury, predators. Were it not for the loving care and the watchful eye of the shepherd, the sheep would be in grave danger. Throughout David's life, he certainly faced many threatening circumstances and dangers. The giant Goliath, the murderous Saul, the many wars and battles he fought as king of Israel, his own traitorous and disloyal son Absalom. Yet in the midst of all these perils, David had found one thing to be unfailingly true. His shepherd had been by his side, leading and guiding him through every hazard. For many people, the word valley in this verse suggests a flat, grassy expanse lying peacefully between mountains, like a dale or a meadow. However, that's not what the word means here, and it's not what valleys were like in the Old Testament. A valley was a deep ravine or gorge, It was narrow, dark, and damp, and usually enclosed on both sides by steep stone walls, making it virtually inescapable. Valleys were frequently located at the foot of towering cliffs. Valleys were extremely dangerous. Rocks and boulders, landslides, snakes, wild beasts, and criminals lurked in the darkness of the valleys. But since grass grows in Palestine during a very short growing season, shepherds struggled to keep their flocks fed the rest of the year. Oftentimes it became necessary to lead their sheep into valleys where green plants grew even during the hottest part of the year. Passing through the valleys was also necessary at times in order to reach the green pastures on the other side. In Scripture, valleys are symbols of the darkest times of life. The valley of the shadow of death speaks of life's gravest circumstances, fearful occasions when people are facing death, either their own or the death of a loved one. When believers experience things in their lives such as severe illness or disease, sudden attacks on health, serious accidents, deadly and destructive weather, violence, war, and terrorism, and famine and poverty, they are passing through the valley of the shadow of death. But in this psalm, David testifies that he is not afraid to walk through life's darkest valleys. Although he was defenseless in himself, he was not alone in the valley. His shepherd was with him. He knew that the Lord would protect him and keep him close at his side. David's fear and terror were turned to comfort and joy because he knew his shepherd was skillfully armed with a rod and a staff. The rod was a club that the shepherd carried to fight off wild animals and thieves. It was a deadly and effective weapon. The staff was the instrument the shepherd used to deal with his sheep. It was not a weapon, but a tool. The shepherd leaned on it for support as he journeyed across rough ground and rocky crags. The staff had a large hook on the end of it so the shepherd could use it to pull a sheep out of a hole or out of a tight, unreachable spot and bring it back into the fold. If a sheep strayed or wouldn't keep up with the flock, the shepherd could use his staff to gently nudge the sheep and encourage it to get back here and keep up. Even when he was going through the valley of the shadow of death, David was fearless because he knew his shepherd would protect him from every deadly threat, including his own waywardness. His shepherd would keep him close to his side in the darkness and would be with him every step of the way until he passed safely to the light on the other side. Now let's look at verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Not long after the prophet Samuel identified young David and anointed him king, David began to face opposition. How many of you know that when the Lord calls you, you're going to encounter some opposition from the enemy? For nearly 10 years, Saul had sought David's life. Then when David became king, he had to battle against invaders and enemy nations throughout most of his 40-year reign. And sadly, there was Absalom, his own son, who tried to seize the kingdom from him. But in verse 5, David testified that his shepherd was with him in every battle, strengthening and refreshing him throughout every trial. The Lord supplied all of David's needs. The Lord fed him and nourished him. The Lord spread out a table before him in the very presence of his enemies. When David wrote these words, perhaps he was thinking of those loyal Israelites who had supplied food to him when he was a fugitive from Saul in the wilderness. Or perhaps David was just speaking figuratively, how that even in the direst and most serious of circumstances, God still blessed him with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he does for you and me.
Amen.
In verse 5, David also testified that the Lord anointed his head with oil. Perhaps he was thinking of himself as a sheep. When a sheep was injured, the shepherd would use oil to soothe and heal its wounds. They would pour oil on the heads and backs of the sheep to repel flies and gnats and other insects that would try to torment the sheep. The fragrance of the oil would also repel snakes that hid in the thick grass as the sheep grazed. Or perhaps David was thinking back to the day when the prophet Samuel had anointed his head with oil and declared him to be the future king of Israel. In Scripture, oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And just as a shepherd used oil to bring comfort and healing to a sheep, the anointing of the Holy Spirit in our lives brings us comfort and healing and relief from pain and torment. And just as Samuel anointed David as king of Israel, God anoints you and me as a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, so that like David too, we can overcome the enemy and have victory in all of the battles that we face in this life.
Amen.
At the end of verse 5, David also testified that my cup runneth over. In spite of David's sins and shortcomings, the Lord knew his heart and still showered him with more blessings than he could contain. His cup overflowed not only with the power and wisdom that he needed to overcome the enemy and win battles, but it also gave him confidence and hope in the midst of his many trials and tribulations. Though David's soul was often in distress, his spirit was always overflowing and never ran dry. Likewise, Jesus said that he has come to give us life, and life more abundantly. He strengthens us and nourishes us with his word. He anoints, empowers, and refreshes us through his indwelling spirit, and he has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Brothers and sisters, give thanks and glory to God, because our cups runneth over too.
Amen. Amen.
Vivian, if you would, put up verse 6, please. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As I mentioned earlier, most scholars think that David wrote Psalm 23 in his old age. As David looked back on all the events of his life, he could see the faithfulness of his shepherd at work. The Lord's continual care throughout his life filled him with great assurance and hope for the future. David had experienced enough of life to know that God is good all the time. In every circumstance of his life, God's goodness had reached out to him. In battles, false accusations, his life as a fugitive, the death of his child, and heart-rending problems within his family. Even in David's time of horrific sin, adultery, and murder, God displayed his goodness to him. In times of distress, David repeatedly called out to God for mercy, and God unfailingly showed him steadfast covenant love. The Lord had stayed true to his character, to his word, and to his name. David had confidence that God's goodness and mercy would continue throughout the remainder of his life, and he had confidence that he would be in God's presence forever.
Amen.
If you would, please stand with me. And Sister Karen, if you please come forward. Brothers and sisters, I want you to consider this. Jesus Christ, the great shepherd, became the Lamb of God so that he could suffer the judgment and punishment we deserved. The shepherd became the sheep. The Lamb of God was slain at Calvary to take away your sin and mine. He became the gate through which we can enter into the sheepfold, the way into the Father's house. Amen. He came as the good shepherd. He died as the Lamb of God. He lives on as the great shepherd, and we'll meet him again one day as the chief shepherd who will take us into the house of the Lord to be with him forever. And now Sister Karen is going to lead us in a song, and then we'll close in prayer.
This is a song written by Melody and Keith Green.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we leave here today with hearts full of gratitude, knowing that because you're our good shepherd, we will lack for nothing. We leave here today with hearts full of peace, because you will lead us to green pastures and still waters. As we go forth from this place, we will fear no evil, because you are with us. We take comfort in the rod of your protection and the staff of your salvation. We rejoice in your tender care, how you bless us so abundantly, even in the midst of the darkness of this world. And lastly, we find hope and serenity and security in the knowledge that your goodness and your mercy follow us everywhere we go, and that we have a future where we will be in your presence forever.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
God bless all of you. Have a great week in the Lord. You're dismissed. Mm-hmm.